Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Pastor Dreyer and Pastor Spomer had asked me to speak today, and I love to do this. I love to speak, and I really had no idea what I was really going to talk about. I had some framework, and so true to form, really spent some time in prayer, and it's just amazing how God pours in His heart. What I hope is His words that I can share with you this morning. I actually got morning right. I usually mix up evening and morning because I'm usually here on Saturday night. So yeah. How about that? Thought I'd call myself out there. So it's great to be here this first week of Epiphany. And so I thought we'd start there. Epiphany is defined as a sudden revelation or a sudden idea, right? In the church, we celebrate Epiphany as the revelation of God incarnate, that is Jesus Christ, to the world as we celebrate the Magi coming and worshiping, falling down before Christ and worshiping. I don't believe that's a one-time event. Epiphany is a constant revelation of who Christ is, who He is in our lives, how we are to walk with Him, how we are to serve, and how we are to worship. And so this morning I'm going to spend a bit more time on that worship element, specifically on how that has evolved through our time here at Ablaze before we started Ablaze. So I'd like to start with Romans 12:1. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So it gives us a good framework of how God thinks about worship. So as Pastor Dreyer had mentioned, early in our history, we started with a small group of friends. And that was really it. It was just a group of friends that met in church. We had we were musicians. We loved singing Christian songs. And so we found an opportunity. We made an opportunity to play together. And this was at our parent congregation at Our Savior. We got together and eventually turned into what we call Sunday Night Live. We'd get together on Sunday evenings, and it was very free flowing. Not a lot of focus on format, so to speak. Right? Just had a great time. It was really edifying to us. And we really chose to worship the Lord versus some of the secular music that some of us had played for years and years. Nothing wrong with that, but our decision was we really wanted to focus on songs that would glorify God. And so we played a lot of really cool music back then, cool to us anyway, probably showing our age a bit, but played a lot of Third Day. We still play a lot of Third Day. Cutlass, even some DC Talk was popular back then, right? We, even if you didn't know this, Zion's Fire, we cut a CD, or a Christian rock CD. You'd occasionally hear the guitar solo in the middle of one of these kind of worship settings, or we had the freedom to just pause and think about the words that we just sang, right? So there was really no limitations or expectations or agendas, and this is just how we started. And I share this with you so you have a kind of foundation of what music means here at Ablaze. It's very centric to our culture, and it's really where we started. And it was very small, very humble, but God had bigger ideas. So in the planning of this whole endeavor, the members of Our Savior Lutheran Church were challenged with a big, hairy, audacious goal. come up with a big, hairy, audacious goal. And as a congregation, came together and developed a goal that looks a lot like this now, right? didn't really know what all that meant at the time. But one of the things that I think is really important to understand is a big, hairy, audacious goal is defined as something that we ourselves, with all of our collective resources, could not accomplish on our own. Only God could do this. Only God could do this, right? So we were intentionally stepping into something that we were admitting we could not do. That's a big, hairy, audacious goal, right? So in every good storyline, there is a point in the story, whether you read books or watch movies, where the events kind of come together and the characters kind of come together at a certain point where you can kind of see where the story is going and you can kind of see the end, how that's probably going to turn out until the author brings in what is called the conflict. The conflict then makes a turn and brings new challenges into the story that have to be overcome, and it just changes the storyline, right? So our conflict was in figuring out how do we move from this responsibility-free, no agenda, no expectation, I'll call it garage band type mindset, right? And I mean, I really didn't think about it that way back then, but now I look back like we were a church garage band, let's face it, right? Right? How do we move from that to being a church worship team? You would think it really translates over fairly well, and in some aspects it does, but in many it doesn't. And we really didn't understand that at the time. There's things to do, arrangements to be made. We have an order of service now that needs to be established. And so we found ourselves focusing on these things and effectively focusing on the production of the service. And really, we were in jeopardy of putting the how before the what and the what before the who. And that is Jesus Christ. The whole reason we started, the one who moved our hearts to worship him to begin with, was now becoming secondary to the mechanics of what needed to be done. So I think we were stuck. We were kind of at this plateau, and I think this happens to all of us. I think you might find this familiar, where you hit a plateau in your life or in your job. I think this happens to every organization, every company I've worked for, hits a plateau at some point. And you think about what do I need to do to get to that next level? And so you do more, and you try harder, and you do more, and you do more. And in fact, perhaps it's all of the doing that is getting in the way of us keeping our eye on the purpose, the original purpose and what we're trying to accomplish, right? And there was no different for us. So to this point, our plans and ideas were much smaller than God's plans and ideas. Our plans were around what music do we play on Saturday night? What scriptures are we going to bring in on Saturday night? Perhaps even how long the pastor should preach. Obviously, we're still working on that one, but that wasn't getting it done, right? Something else needed to change because what God had in mind was much bigger. What we were doing was effectively just a slightly bigger version of what we already were doing. You follow me? It wasn't that transformational, only God can do this kind of thing, right? It was just a bigger version of what we already knew and were comfortable with. We had to kind of get out of the way. To say it differently, our plans did not require us to change. But God had other ideas. And so God began to work on us and kind of reset and refocus. And for me, that meant taking a step back, doing less. For many of us, it was doing less and letting God move and fill in some of those gaps, right? Many of you sitting here are the people who filled in some of those gaps, right? That was God's plan, and we were in our own way. We really felt like, maybe this will sound familiar to some of you, if we being this small core team, if we didn't do all of these things that needed to be done, then things would just fall apart. And it was very we-centric, because we had plans. Have you ever thought about, you know, hey, if you want things done right, do them yourself, right? You won't find that in Scripture. Quite frankly, it's exhausting. It's not a great way to live or be productive. It's not how it was meant to be, but it is our nature to kind of fall into that. So we needed to let go a bit and let God really take over and guide us back into worship. So let's talk a minute about what is worship. When you hit the reset button, you know, it's good thing to ask, what are we doing here? Well, we're trying to worship. Our desire is to worship. Why do we worship? Jesus Christ as God had the sovereign right to claim all of the rights of God, right? But he chose to humble himself and come here, come to earth, walk with us, teach us, suffer and die for us so that we could be redeemed, we could be restored to God the Father. This self-sacrificing love is the ultimate, the perfect example of who we can be in Christ. When we walk in the likeness of Christ, we are called to walk in the likeness of Christ. To the best of our ability, when we walk in the likeness of Christ, we honor him. This is the core of worship, right? So now we have a mustard seed. This thing that starts with Christ. And God can do pretty great things with a mustard seed. I'm sure you know that story. There's a Bible study called Experiencing God. Any of you heard of it? I would recommend it in your home or small group. It's a great Bible study. One of the things we learned in that Bible study is that when serving God, when in ministry, personal ministry, church ministry, whatever the case may be, it's not always about just doing what your heart tells you to do and then ask God to come in and bless your things. It's about looking at what God is doing. Where is God moving? And joining him, joining his ministry, joining his work, right? For Ablaze, this meant we were being called away from the, you know, garage band, comfortable, what we know setting into something that was a little terrifying. It was going to take some work, and it was certainly going to take a lot of faith to really become what was going to serve the church. So what does God do with this little bit of faith? Well, new leaders start to step up, new people start to come in the doors, new singers, musicians. We actually found ourselves and we saw ourselves kind of as a training ground for a lot of young worship leaders, right? There was people who wanted to share their gifts and they weren't really sure how to do that in this kind of setting, and we became that avenue for them. You see kind of what's going on here? A few minutes ago, I talked about we were stuck, and we really didn't know what to do next, but God, and now we're mentoring others to worship in a in a much bigger and profound way, right? God is really good. Every step of the way, every conflict we ran into, God did something bigger. So the things we will see as we look back at where we've been, our runway, if you will, our roadmap to develop our worship style, our personal worship, when we start to look forward, where is this taking us? The things we will see. Well, let's start with this. Worship is not an event. It's an attitude. Did I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's got to be more than a time slot between Saturday and Sunday where we just write in on the calendar, this is when I'm going to go be in worship, right? It's, Romans 12, that what I read earlier, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's not a one-time thing that we just schedule once a week, once a month, whatever the case may be, right? So worship doesn't start when we sing the first song. I hate to sound cliche if this does sound cliche, but worship starts when we wake up in the morning. It is when we talk to each other, how we treat each other, how we love each other, how we do our jobs, our vocations, right? I'm not talking about walking around singing hymns or praise songs out loud at work every day, right? Maybe some of you can do that. I can't. It's really about putting Christ first in everything that we're doing, right? That is really where worship begins. What I've learned is that I can't simply turn off the world and then all of a sudden be in authentic, profound worship, much less come up here and lead a group of people in worship, right? So in other words, this is really a key takeaway that I hope you take away today. The way we walk in the world affects how we see and worship God.
Amen.
When our daily walk is in the right place, the things we do every day, it's pretty easy to come up here and worship because it's just an extension of what we're already doing, right? It's not a scheduled event. It's just one more aspect of our daily walk and our daily worship. And that's just not for the worship team. That's for all of us, every single one of us. If you want to experience profound, authentic worship, it starts long before you walk in those doors. So if God wants us to change, grow, and move in a church, to do something like this, right, Blaze, then certainly he wants us to do the same in our own personal lives. So the things we will see, God will move us. God will change us. We can go kicking and screaming if we choose, right? But God is God and we are not. God will move us and God will change us. Clearly, you can see that God is at work here. From our humble beginnings to, you know, a group of friends that didn't really even know how to do worship, if you will, in church. We were just playing music to a vision, if you will, that God gave Pastor Dreyer about doing something in Broken Arrow, and God puts these things together, and this plan turns into this amazing thing. Now we've got an overflowing child development center, two worship services, and still growing. I hope that you see God is moving here. His hand is on this. He's doing something. So I hope that when you come in those doors, you don't see something that you can join that's what other people have started or other people are doing, right? What I hope you see is what God is doing. God is moving in miraculous ways, and we have the awesome privilege to join him in that. And for that reason, this isn't someone else's church. This is your church. This is your place to grow and serve and to worship God.